Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Good morning. It's 10:27. If you've just tuned in, we've been having a massive conversation about hair loss. Thank you for your text messages coming into 51552. Sarah Kearns, nurse, is here. We're going to talk about the coil. We'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to ask you about hair loss.
Yeah.
Because somebody texts me saying, I'm losing my hair, but I've been on some form of pill for 20 years. And I don't know what my normal hormones, hair, skin look like. Could the pill be a factor?
Yeah, we were just saying there that hair loss can be a result of loads of different things, as stress-related alopecia, right up to just say I'm 4 months postpartum. My hair loss is absolutely unbelievable at the moment. Like I describe it as nearly frightening. When I wash my hair and I've tried to kind of stretch out the, like do it every 4 days, but I'm talking handfuls of hair. So I'm kind of really, really thin at the front of my hair now. And it's odd that this came up, because actually I was talking about it with somebody last night, quite an in-depth, my sister, or as a dietitian, and she was telling me, this is all hormone related postpartum, for example, okay? Mm. So it's the same as with the pill. The pill, when you take hormones, or, you know, this postpartum is hormone, you have a big drop in your hormones around this time, about 3 months postpartum. And it can go on for another 3 months. I'm like, how can I go through this for another 3 months? Massive hair loss. But with the pill, if you think about it, some people, if you have hormone related hair loss, the pill can really aggravate that. And think about with the pill, sometimes people get acne, sometimes people get kind of thinner nail beds, all that sort of stuff. So it can affect everything. So it's really important, if you start getting hair loss and you've just started a new pill, or you've been on a pill for a while, you need to talk to your GP. And this is what's the other thing, is that Orla was saying to me as well, how important vitamins in your, taking vitamins in your body. So zinc is so important for your hair, skin and nails. So she was, there's loads of things you can do. You know, a dermatologist, they are absolute experts. Go to one of them if you're concerned. There is kind of quite out there procedures. They're kind of a big deal, but they might be for you. Things that will PRP, so basically get plasma injected into your scalp. So there is at that kind of more extreme end, there's all these treatments available. So go to a dermatologist. They're absolutely amazing. But in the meantime, if you go into a really good pharmacy, you need to take a multivitamin, you need to take zinc, you need to take biotin, is really important. And then there's an immunity boost as well. So you just need to get your body to the optimum level of having all these vitamins and minerals in your body. The other thing is, Rogaine have just brought out, apparently. I just literally just had this conversation last night.
Isn't it crazy?
Crazy.
Do you know what? I think a lot of women are having these conversations behind closed doors, not open enough. And it's Alopecia Awareness Month on the other end of the spectrum. I didn't know that either.
Viviscal shampoo. Yeah. It's a mousse as well that you can put in the night before. Rogaine is meant to be, it's pricey, but apparently extremely effective. Kerastase, we were saying there, do a hair kind of regrowth shampoo that's meant to be really good. And then Rogaine have just brought out a female specific one, because we have such a massive load of hormones in all different shapes and sizes going through our body throughout our lives. So if you think about when you're postpartum, when you're menopausal, all these reasons can cause hair loss. So go to your GP, talk to them. They might, you know, do an assessment of your hormones. You might be, even at 40, maybe you're starting to early menopause. Could this be a sign of it? So go to your GP.
Can you assess your hormones?
Well, yeah, they'd be able to do
bloods.
Tests. Yeah, bloods.
Wow.
Yeah, and just have a look. And there's a couple of, like, to assess that if you're in menopause, which you can definitely talk about another day, like, there's loads of different symptoms off it, but that could be one of them. You know what I mean? So talking to your GP is really important. So Rogaine, that Viviscal, she was telling me to take biotin. Zinc is really good. And there's really good chewable zinc tablets that I've been taking totally postpartum, but it hasn't really, I was actually going to the pharmacy on my bike on the way home to get these things. So the biotin, and I'm taking a Pregnacare, the breastfeeding, that's what I'm breastfeeding, but you can get the New Mum or the breastfeeding Pregnacare, and that's just a multivitamin essentially. Yeah. So you could take that and just do that as a kind of starting point. Link, if you're worried, link in with your GP, and then you might get a referral to a dermatologist. Like, if it's very bad, you could get that PRP potentially, or something along those lines.
I think a lot of people, a huge problem with hair loss is there's huge denial there for
a
while.
Absolutely, yeah.
and then they get to a stage. I mean, my hairdresser always says, you know, you need to look after what you have and then you can build on that. But it's, go and seek help straight away. Don't let it fester. Don't not talk about it. Don't go and get your vitamins. Start with your vitamins. If you're really concerned, go see a doctor. Please do that straight away. Yeah. So you're not getting more anxious and stressed. That's going to,
that could actually quicken things up. You could actually get, like, increase the hair loss if you're that anxious and stressed out about it. But like, hair is such a massive part of our identity. You know, like, I have big black curly hair. I'm really identifiable from my hair. Yeah. I can never get in trouble because I'm memorable. But like, that's a massive part of who I am. And now I'm going to have to, I'm going to get a couple of snazzy hair bands, I think, on the way up. A bit of a distraction, a decoy.
Isn't it pretty funny that you're so right. It's such a massive part of our identity. Yeah. Identity, and we talk about hair loss in men quite a bit, but women, it's just not talked about enough. Does it, I found... Because I was saying to Anita, I found my hair in the front because I was so stressed out over the last couple of months, thinning. But I feel, even talking about it today, I feel a little bit, not 100% better, but it feels better.
Because other people are going through
it. Yeah.
And then we do talk about men far more. But if you think about in the last couple of years, so much of it is extensions and clip-ins and tapes and all that. People have this Victoria's Secret-esque massive big luscious hair. It's actually not real. It's not real hair. It's not a realistic representation of what hair is. Mm. So then we have this sort of additional thing with social media kind of telling us this is what your hair is meant to be looking. And not everyone has. Some people have the most incredible, thick, luscious, amazing hair. Not everyone has that.
Not a lot of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, let's move on to this because we have to talk about this because we got an email into jen@rte.ie, and I'm delighted to address any issues that you have with Sarah. It says, "Hi Jen, I'm writing this email after listening to your nurse Sarah chat on the show. I'm currently lying in bed in absolute agony. I had my coil inserted yesterday and it was the most painful experience of my life. In fact, I cried during it. The pain, it was so bad I had to take a day off work today. I can't describe how sore it was. A quick Google search indicates that this pain is something a lot of women have gone through. Some have fainted, many have screamed."
Jesus. I know.
I feel very violated today and I'm so worried about my contraception options now. I can't face it again. I just want to raise this issue for an open discussion. I hope Sarah can help. Sarah, the coil, I've never had it. I've no experience with the coil. I was a pill popping kind of gal.
We were all on Yasmin. I feel like everyone was on.
Loved it,
was
like Yasmin.
Just go on Yasmin. That's the pill to take. But it's, again, this is such a massive part of our lives.
Yeah.
It's a huge part of our lives. So it's really important. Get yourself educated. Get Googling. But what a coil is, and they're really kind of interesting devices. They're a little plastic T-shaped. It's about 3 centimetres long T-shaped device with two little strings hanging out the bottom of it. And it's inserted into your uterus via your cervix, right? And that's where it gets sore. We're going to talk about this because it's inserted in and it sits there. So there's two types of coils. There's a hormonal one and a non-hormonal. So the hormonal one, you would have heard the Marina coil. Or the Kylena is half the amount of hormones in it. But essentially, it's coated in progesterone, which is the same what a mini pill is or Cerazette. A lot of breastfeeding mums will know about Cerazette. It doesn't affect your milk supply, so it's really good postpartum. But what it's, this little device is covered in this progesterone, and what it does, it can stop you ovulating. So you might not ovulate at all on it, just like the pill. And the other thing is it thins the lining off your uterus. So even if you did get pregnant, the embryo isn't going to be able to implant, stick, exactly. And the other thing is it increases the cervical, it's a mucus, so it kind of traps sperm on the way in. So it's an extraordinarily effective method of contraception. It definitely comes at its downsides. Not you might not get periods, you might get a bit irregular spotting, and then you might not get periods, which is not up people's trees. Like, the people, some people would absolutely hate that. Some people want a period every single month as absolute reassurance of everything, that they're not pregnant, essentially. There's an increased chance of having an ectopic pregnancy, because imagine this thing is sitting in the uterus, so it might shove, you know, the embryo. Yeah. And the other type is the non-hormonal, and we actually don't talk about this coil enough. It's basically the little T, the little plastic device, has got some copper, a kind of copper metal up through it. And what it makes is the uterus the most inhospitable, toxic environment for sperm and eggs. It's the most effective method of emergency contraceptive, the morning after pill. So it works immediately. It's inserted up this copper just makes the whole area of your uterus inhospitable. It can last up to 10 years. The Marina is about 5 years, and it's as safe as a contraceptive can get. So it's 99.9% effective. And again, but the only downside of the copper coil is that you have to, we're going to talk about getting them inserted, but it can, it increases the cervical mucus trapping the sperm anywhere on the way in. This inhospitable environment is created, but it can make your periods heavier because it can thicken the lining of your uterus. So that's a massive downside of the copper coil, is that it can make your periods a lot heavier. But it can last 10 years. And what some people like is in the, you know, when they become menopausal, that they would might get a coil in like the copper coil, and it can literally just stay in there until after the menopause, and you can just get it removed at that stage.
Okay.
Yeah. But the reason we don't hear about it is, right, there's been a lot of this in the media recently. There was a BBC presenter, you can watch it on YouTube. This is in the minority, right? It's not, the majority of coils being inserted are no problem. People report no problem. This is what happens. If you imagine this little 3 centimetre T-shaped device is inserted through your cervix, if you've never had a baby before, your cervix is so tight. It is like you can't get anything up or down easily. Mm-hmm. So imagine getting that, a toothpick shoved up. Essentially, that's toothpick size-wise.
So imagine, painful.
So this is what lots of people have been reporting, and you can see various threads on Instagram and things. What people are reporting is this excruciating pain. If you've never had a baby, you're also, even if you have had a baby, your uterus can be tilted backwards, and your cervix can be what a posterior facing. It might be, if you imagine getting a smear, loads of people find smears unbelievably uncomfortable because of the position of their cervix.
Gotcha.
So the first thing you could do is have a consultation if you're anxious at all. If you've never had this done, talk to your GP or your GP nurse and say, listen, I'm really anxious about this. What are my options? And it could be based on having a really uncomfortable smear, and say, listen, I've had a smear. It's really uncomfortable. What are my options? First thing at first, you could take some Nurofen and paracetamol 30, 60 minutes before the procedure. Second thing is an option is the position. So if you know that, and if you've ever had a baby at the beginning of, you know, with the scans, the vaginal scans, sometimes they get you to put your two fists under your sacrum, and it basically tilts your pelvis upwards.
Okay.
Yeah, so the cervix is easier to get at. There is options that people don't regularly know about in wherever they're getting their coils inserted, right? There's an option of this Cytotec or Misoprostol. It's basically two little tablets that you put into your vagina, and it softens up. You do it before the procedure, and it softens up your cervix, so then it's easier for this thing to be inserted.
Okay.
Yeah. The other option is that you can get local anaesthetic in a gel or an injection form. That might help immensely. So local anaesthetic, this Cytotec, a lot of GP practices will aim to put in your coil in the first 7 days of your cycle. So imagine that you're mid period or just at the end of your period, your cervix is going to be softer, might be easier to insert it. And then I've met a couple of people in the last couple of days that have actually had have had general anaesthetics to put the coils in because where their uterus might be tilted and there, that is so excruciatingly painful just trying to get at the area and get this thing inserted, that they actually go under general anaesthetic.
Wow.
And which might sound crazy on first, like, why would you go through that? But if you're finished your family, or even if you're not, or whatever, you don't want to get pregnant again for a while, okay, this may be that a quick general anaesthetic is because this is such an effective form of contraception, maybe outweigh the pros and the cons, you know.
Yeah.
Talk to your GP, talk to your GP nurse and say, listen, what are my options here? But if you've never had a baby before, this can be quite sore to get in, and then the position of cervix. But then the other thing is that it's so effective in, just say in Sweden, the copper coil is the number one form of contraception.
Wow. Yeah. Can I ask you then, in your opinion, the coil or the pill?
I think where you are in your life is really important. Okay, so cost is a big part. Getting a coil put in is €300 to €400, and again, it might be an uncomfortable procedure, but it's definitive. So I've had 3 kids. I don't think I'm going to have a fourth, so maybe a coil might be ideal for me. Also, I have a 4-month-old baby trying to remember the pill every day. If you can't remember to take the pill every day, sometimes it's even sitting beside my bed and never remember. So it depends. Weigh it up. And then just say the copper coil is absolutely excellent. For example, if you are taking medication for something else that might interact with the hormone in the Marina coil, or it just say you have a family history, or you've had a DVT before, or you have some contraindication. Sometimes progesterone makes people quite sick, and their body does not react to it very well. So the copper coil has no hormones in it. So that might be an absolutely brilliant. So it depends where you are in your life and what sort of person you are. Listen, contraceptive wise, there is so much. I was laughing at the beginning saying, oh, we were all on Yasmin. But now there's implants that last. There's an injection that gives you up to 2 full years of contraceptive protection. It's really effective because the pill can be effective if you forget it. If you just say the progesterone only has a 3 hour window. I know the combined pill, the normal pill, has about 12 hours. But just say you have vomiting, it mightn't work, or, you know, for loads of different things if you're outside. So it depends what sort of person you are, where you are in your life. But the coil can be, if you definitively do not want to take hormones and you don't want to have a baby in the next sort of couple of years, the coil might be an absolute winning option for you.
Go and speak to your GP and go check out your options. There are options. That's good to know.
And also, what was the take-home message for me? What is normal after you get a coil in? Maybe get someone to drive you to the practice, where a well-known practice or your GP or whatever, okay? Get someone maybe to drive you. Take painkillers after. What is normal is to have spotting, because that would be normal, because if you have something inserted into your uterus, a little bit of bleeding, that could be normal. A little bit of cramping, because you can imagine your uterus is like, what's this thing? And so a bit of cramping could be normal. A little bit of, people report dizziness. Get someone to drive you home. The other thing, just to drive home, that if you are really uncomfortable in this procedure, what the take home message is, just tell them to stop. Talk to them. It should not be excruciatingly painful to get this inserted. If it is, I've talked through the options. What about maybe taking this Cytotec stuff? What about local anaesthetic? There's so many options to getting a coil inserted. Do not go through pain.
What is wrong with us? I don't know. With the pain thing. Like, we tend to think it is normal for us to be in constant pain, whether it's periods or menopause or after birth or whatever thing. And we leave it so long, or getting coils inserted or whatever we think.
And we sit there and we just take it. Harrowing about all these threads. We sit there and we take it and we're like, that was the most excruciating 10. It shouldn't be excruciating. No. And like, there is absolute options for you that if it is excruciating, talk, open your mouth, start talking, say, hey, listen, this is really, really sore. And they can say, hey, listen, I'm just about to finish, or I shouldn't be. What about local anaesthetic? Okay, do you want to come back another day after you've taken Cytotec? And then if it is excruciating, what about a general anaesthetic? I know that that's a big deal. I've never had a general anaesthetic. Lots of people haven't. But maybe that's an option for you.
If that's what you really want.
Yeah, and even basic position. So a little bit of spotting is normal. A bit of cramping, a bit of dizziness. Get someone to drive you home. Take some painkillers after. But any significant bleeding of any sort, when you have the coil in, whether it's just after getting it in, you have a risk of ectopic pregnancy. So abdominal pain, shoulder pain, anything. Google ectopic pregnancy. It's fascinating. Sometimes you mightn't have any tummy pain at all. You might just have pain in your shoulders because of the way the nerves work in your body. So any kind of hemorrhaging, any dark dark blood, light blood, anything kind of significant in terms of bleeding, you need to go straight back to your GP and say, listen, this isn't normal. Spotting is normal. Heavy bleeding isn't.
Okay. Listen, I hope that helped you guys chatting about the coil. And if there's anything else you'd like Sarah to talk about, I think we will talk about premenopause and menopause.
Taking away the stigma. Oh, that'd be good.
Gosh, got to talk about that, unfortunately. ICU nurse Sarah Kearns, thank you for coming in, and you can check her out, baselinefirstaid.ie. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.